Yeah, it's A. This is Generation Justice, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. I'm your host, Carson Lafferty.
And I'm your other host, Christina Rodriguez. Tonight, we talk youth and elections.
You can't ignore someone when they're loud enough. And I think if you have a collective youth voice that's loud enough, they can't be written off anymore.
We'll also hear from Community Voices about the urgent need to increase resources for those living with mental illness.
It's hard to know that your own people can't get the services and resources they need when they need them.
And we spent some time on the UNM campus talking to students about voting and about an issue that's on all of their minds, education.
All of that and some great music this hour on Generation Justice, a multimedia project that trains youth to create media that inspires social change.
First, here's Get Up, Stand Up by the legendary Bob Marley. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
November 4th, Election Day, is coming up quick, and youth are getting ready to rock the vote.
That's right, Carson. It's really important that youth recognize and understand the huge potential they have to make a change in their community, and being involved in the electoral process is one way to do that.
To speak more about that, we have Andrea Serrano, the Deputy Director of Organizers in the Land of Enchantment, or OLE.
OLE is a nonprofit grassroots organization that empowers, helps, and works with New Mexicans through community-based campaigns, electoral engagement, and education around social justice issues.
And now, here's my co-host, Christina Rodriguez, with Andrea Serrano.
I'm Christina Rodriguez from Generation Justice. Today, I'm here with a poet, an activist, and the Deputy Director of Organizers in the Land of Enchantment. We're talking about the upcoming elections and the importance of youth being involved. Andrea Serrano, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a native of Albuquerque, so I've been here my whole life, and I've been doing community work now for about 20 years, and I got involved in doing community work when I was a young person, and so it's really great to be working in an organization that is dedicated to working families in New Mexico and issues that affect working families in New Mexico. So it's been really great to be working with people and watching their growth as leaders.
Can you share with us some background about what OLE is and what OLE does?
We are a grassroots community organization. We are member-run, which means that our members make decisions for the organization and play a key role in our direction. We work on immigration reform. We offer classes to people who are becoming citizens and assistance in filling out paperwork. We've done conservation work. In 2012, we were part of the campaign to raise the minimum wage in Albuquerque, and we were successful in that. It was an overwhelming number of voters who voted that in, and a lot of that came from the work that OLE and our partnering organizations put in. And now our big campaign is early childhood education and really ensuring that every child in the state of New Mexico has access to quality early childhood education. And it's been an amazing process to watch, especially this year, just so many parents, center owners, center directors, and early ed teachers really coming together and organizing, and we're starting to see this movement really gain traction.
So how has New Mexico's economic downturn specifically affected our youth?
With the recession that hit, New Mexico is still recovering, and we keep losing jobs, and we keep having these really high rates of unemployment. And when an issue like that affects the family, obviously it affects children. But what we see overall as a state is that we're 50th in child well-being, we're 50th in poverty. So we see these huge gaps between the rich and the poor. But we also have, I think, leadership on the state level and even in the local level that isn't investing in our local economy, that isn't investing in children. You know, they're giving these huge tax breaks to out-of-state corporations who are then turning around and paying working people poverty wages. Children are hungry. Children are not having access to early childhood education. Children are in inadequate schools. They're being tested more than they're being taught. Our teachers' hands are tied. So many childhood development centers are owned by women. They're locally owned, and without adequate funding, children aren't able to access this quality education. And also, we know that since 2010, 150 centers have closed because there's not enough money. If there's funding available, then everybody thrives. Children thrive, families thrive, teachers thrive, center owners thrive. And this is something I think that when we're talking about young people being able to take control of their education, being able to have a say in their education, and having that confidence really does come from that early education.
You spoke about a variety of important issues that are impacting New Mexico and all of New Mexico, not just a certain population. And are any of those issues going to be on the ballot this year?
What we really want to see are voters getting out and voting and supporting candidates who support early childhood education. We want to see candidates in office who really are invested in New Mexicans and invested in really creating a thriving economy in our state with the local economy. And not to say that out-of-state corporations aren't welcome. Of course they're welcome, but they should be paying their fair share in taxes the way local business owners do.
When it comes to getting out the vote, there's this misconception that youth don't know what's going on or that they aren't voting. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
We know that youth do vote. We know that youth are very, very knowledgeable about the world and the community around them. We know that young people care. I think a lot of times it's really easy to just write youth off as frivolous or they're not paying attention or they're really self-centered. And when you don't reach out to young people to vote, well, then of course they're not going to go out and vote. When you tell someone that their vote doesn't matter, then, you know, of course they're going to start to believe that. But we do know that the youth vote does matter. We want to hear from young people. Olay has a youth component that is fairly new, that we're still growing, and we want it to be very integrated into the organization. Sometimes organizations will have a youth component that's very separate or kind of just for show, but really, you know, we truly want to move toward a multi-generational membership where young people have an equal voice, an equal seat at the table. And so I think to kind of write off young people does a complete disservice to the entire electoral process.
I like how you said that young votes are still a vote. It's an equal vote. And on top of youth being involved, there's actually a lot of youth involved that may not be documented or may not be of age to vote. So how can those youth also get involved?
Definitely when people don't have the right to vote, whether they aren't 18 or they don't have citizenship. A lot of our members are studying to become citizens, but don't have their citizenship yet, but are still heavily involved in this process in terms of going out, talking to voters, talking to friends and neighbors who can vote, encouraging them to vote. We know that when people don't have the right to vote, they still have a voice that matters, and voters can represent that voice as well as their own. People who don't have the right to vote have a voice, speak very clearly for themselves. In voting, we're not only just voting for our communities, but we're also being allies in our vote. And I think that's what's really important.
If these youth are more involved in the electoral process, what do you think will change?
You can't ignore someone when they're loud enough. And I think if you have a collective youth voice that's loud enough, they can't be written off anymore. You can't shut people down when there's enough people knocking at the door. And so that's what's really important about the youth vote. That's what's important about marginalized communities voting, is that you can't ignore an entire group of people. And so the more people you have, the stronger the message is going to be. And when we vote, you know, it furthers that conversation. And I don't subscribe to the idea that, well, if you don't vote, you don't get to complain. I don't subscribe to that. I very much think that if people aren't voting, it's because they've lost a lot of faith in policymakers. They've lost faith in the system. They've lost faith in the electoral process. And it's our elected officials' job to gain back the trust of the public. And so if people aren't voting, they have every right to still complain. But then let's work together to make it better. Let's work together to make it right. If you're feeling like your voice doesn't matter, then how do we make it matter? And the less marginalized communities who are voting, the less voice they're going to have. That's a really important piece to remember. If we want people to go out and vote, we have to gain back people's trust.
With 9 days left until the election, what is your message for the youth in New Mexico?
If you're able to vote and you're registered to vote, vote early. Don't wait until election day. You have a right to vote. Can't be turned away. Your vote has to count. It's really important to get people out to vote with you. And it's really quick and it's really painless. And you're not going to get in trouble for quote-unquote voting wrong. So with 9 days left, there's early vote centers everywhere. Go and vote early. If you are going to wait until election day, go and vote anyway. And as long as you're in line by 7 o'clock p.m. on election day, you can vote. You know, you can check out our website at www.olenm.org, olenm.org. We're taking volunteers for canvassing and for phones. We are calling voters. We are knocking on their door. We know that that face-to-face contact is what really makes a difference in the election. When someone talks to you like you're a human being, they're not just showing negative ads and throwing those at you, but really talking to you one-on-one. We need people who are willing to go out, talk to voters, to make phone calls to voters. If you have a vehicle and you have people in your neighborhood who need a ride to go and vote, take them to vote. There's lots of ways in which people can be involved. Visit our website once again, www.olenm.org. So that's olenm.org. Submit your resume or even just put your information and we will give you a call, set up an interview all the way until the election. So, you know, there's still 9 days left. That's 9 days to earn some money and also get out there and make a difference for the election.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I really appreciate the work that you do here and I appreciate that you took the time to speak with us today.
We really appreciate Generation Justice and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Andrea. I feel like the youth vote is easily overlooked, and she reminded me that my vote is worth just as much as anyone else's.
Me too, Christina. Your interview with Andrea made me think about how the trust in the electoral process can be restored by having youth go out and vote.
Back to the music. Our next song is called PTTP by Vibe.
Wake up. The nap is over. There's a world to impact once the rap is over. Newsflash, right now is the future. Grab it. Get your 3D glasses. Can you see the masses? Hypnotized or asleep? Are you hearing me? When you know the truth, there's no need for conspiracy. New world order may be the reality for sons and daughters. That's something you won't hear from a news report.
Youth today play a critical role in any election process.
That's true, Christina. Not only do youth help by voting and getting out the vote, but also by speaking up about the important issues that they face on a daily basis.
Carson, I've heard from a little bird that you've been hitting the streets of Albuquerque as a canvasser these past couple of weeks.
That's right, Christina. In the past couple of weeks, I've met and talked with enthusiastic and insightful young people who are just as concerned as I am about voting in the upcoming elections.
Young people do have a voice. And this week, Generation Justice went to UNM campus to speak with young voters.
One issue that was on all of their minds was education. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Carissa Lewis. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I moved to Albuquerque in August 2012 to attend the University of New Mexico.
My name is Danny Kessler. I'm 19 years old.
I'm Karina, I'm 19, I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
My name's Connor, I'm 24, and I'm Canadian.
My name is Rachel Maestas, I'm 25, I'm an alumnus of UNM, graduated December of 2013.
My name is Derek Toledo, I'm from Lima's Pueblo, I'm 27 years old, and I attend the University of New Mexico.
My name is Gabriela Hernandez, I am 22 years old, I'm originally from Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, just recently graduated from Mexico Highlands University.
My name is Zachary Milliken. I am 15 years old. I was born and raised in Portland, Oregon, and I moved to Albuquerque around a year ago.
In 4 years, I would like to have a degree, but I would like to be free of debt. If I could have anything, that's kind of, that would be wonderful.
There's kids that used to come to school with me over here at UNM, and they're not here anymore because of
scholarship.
The University of New Mexico is raising the GPA pretty drastically, and there are students who are in the public education system here that's just not even doable.
I definitely think we need to have some student loan forgiveness programs. I know Senator Elizabeth Warren has been working a lot to reduce that kind of debt and that burden on students.
Too many students are graduating with at least $30,000 in debt and then not even able to get jobs with their degree.
I'm someone who's coming from a state with the best public education system and kind of being catered to by UNM in a state that has the worst public education system.
When people look at them, it's like, oh, that's a poor state, because we're the second poorest state in the United States. And so when people are like, oh, they're a poor state, you're the last in education, you're the last in the child well-being, and blah, 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 blah.
And if I've been impacted, I don't realize it, because I've just been living the same life for a while, not just going to school and not making much money anyways.
What I want to see is, I want to see equality for people. I want to see less poverty, especially in Albuquerque.
I've read an article recently that a lot of people were leaving New Mexico to go get jobs everywhere else.
I heard a statistic the other day that before Susana Martinez took office, we were like 15th in the country for job growth, and now we're 49th. So it's that right there shows how much can change in 4 years.
Voting is more important than young people realize.
In my experience, I've been mostly uneducated about the election system. I felt powerless, and I didn't see a need in voting.
Because no one really talks about voting, no one really cares about voting.
I know you think, oh, I'm just one person, but if a whole bunch of people, think, hey, I'm not just one person, like, we're all together, then things can change.
People in power often find it advantageous for us to be apathetic. Like, it's less in the way of them, they can get whatever done they want. As soon as we start paying attention to issues, it's something that can't be ignored anymore.
It's not just important in this year's midterm election. It's always important for young people to vote, because young people make up such a big portion of the U.S.
We really need to count on our allies to support us, to keep the fight going, and we need to educate them, and we need to, make sure they're on the right page and they have our backs.
This generation has a voice. We just need something worth speaking out about,
It can seem very daunting and like, well, where the money is, that's where the choices will be made.
Even if the young voters don't realize that, it'll affect their families, their parents, their grandparents.
Make sure you know what you're voting for. Don't just go circling things.
To be able to choose who your leader is a really big privilege that we have in America.
People actually have a lot of power when it comes to passing certain bills or amendments.
More young people need a vote so their needs can be met.
We can definitely turn this around as well.
It's cool to see that even though we haven't been the most politically active generation, it's more a distrust of politicians. We still care about the issues,
Youth voting is important because I think a lot of the time we feel like we don't have a voice or are being listened to, and I think this is a really positive opportunity to be able to make a change in our community, especially when it's like just politicians in New Mexico and it's local voting. Like, that's when it really makes a difference.
Yeah, I'm 15. I'm not really eligible to vote, but a way that someone my age could help is raise awareness, let people know what the problems are so we can all come together and solve them. And also, if you are eligible to vote, then you should definitely vote.
But if you can't vote for whatever reason, you can get involved with an organization that has the same beliefs that you do. And just get involved that way. I think that's just the best way to get involved.
I do love New Mexico. I'd like to see the state grow and change. I know that we can be a lot better. But I want to see change, and I want to see positive change here.
It's so refreshing to hear from youth who feel that voting is more than just a civic duty.
You're absolutely right about that, Christina. We do have the power to make a change in our community. We really do.
We want to thank Karina Roche Cross, Rachel Maestas, Connor Bridge, Carissa Lewis, Victoria Gomez, Zach Milliken, Derek Toledo, Jordan Unverzot, Danny Kessner, and Gabriela Hernandez for sharing their thoughts with us.
Now here's Against Me with a song called Stop.
I vote because of poverty.
I vote because of poverty.
Corporate welfare.
Hope.
Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you. Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you. Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you. You gotta make a serious decision. Stop, take some time to think, figure out what's important to you.
On the November 4th Bernalillo County ballot, there's an advisory question about increasing the funding for mental health solutions.
Last Sunday, Young Women United and the Vote Yes for Mental Health Solutions campaign held a community event talking about the necessity of mental health services.
Our very own Polly Dinette-Claw captured some of the voices of those who attended the event. Here are their perspectives.
Tania Esparza. I'm the executive director at Young Women United.
Hi, my name is Paula Apodaca. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I am a client of Crossroads for Women.
I decided to come out to this event today because when important issues come up, sometimes I'm just kind of not educated enough on things and need to educate myself as to how these issues not affect other people in our community. It isn't always about me. It isn't always about what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, but what other community members are feeling, and educate ourselves as to how people are struggling, how people are in need of certain resources and services such as mental health care.
I feel that it's important to support mental health issues because I have a lot of family members and a lot of friends, and including myself, that have struggled with mental health.
I think because we're having so many people lately in the news with mental illnesses who are not getting the services they need. They need a safe place to go and get the help they need.
So at Young Women United, we understand that our families are navigating cycles of addiction, cycles of historical trauma, and this campaign is a way to garner more support for the necessary services that our families need so that we can get more funding for mental health care services so that our families can have opportunities to heal.
We need more support for the issue because a lot of us that have mental health issues, we have the support that we need, and it's helped us a lot. So there's a lot of people out there that don't have support and help, and they're going through hard times.
As the eldest sister of three, I know that even within our sisterhood, we've had mental health illness. And we've never had the opportunity to talk about it. I have a younger sister who is 16, and she's lived through severe anxiety and depression. And fortunately, being able to have the access to mental health therapy has really helped her sort of talk about, you know, the root of the causes of her depression.
If we don't take care of each other, and not just on the surface, but if we don't dig deep and really give people the care that they need to really get to the root of problems, then it affects all of us in one way or another, because we're all in this together.
And I think that having access to mental health services is not just for individuals. It really impacts families and communities as a whole. And this is an opportunity that we all have to invest in solutions that are real and that are going to have real impacts for the well-being of all our families.
I think growing up, it was a big stigma, or it was something we just didn't talk about much. And we had people in our families, we had relatives, we had friends that we knew that were struggling, obviously, but we just kind of tended to brush it aside. I have, and my own daughters have struggled with issues, and it's hard to face that as a parent and not know that your own people can't get the services and resources they need when they need them.
I think we really just need some more services. There's not enough services.
So I think this is important for our community because it's going to help a lot of people off the streets and stay out of the system.
I think it would help because we would end a lot of the homelessness, vagrancy, people getting arrested, put in jail for like little misdemeanor crimes.
we've had so many situations where people were in crisis mode, and we saw how it affected them personally, how it affected families, how it affected communities. But so the awareness is there. We need to move past awareness and get funding, get things in place so that and resources and services again, so that people can actually have them accessible.
You know, it takes a village to raise a person. I think we need to get as a community to start supporting issues that help our community. We're lacking. It's the right thing to do. The next right thing is to help these poor people who aren't getting what they need.
Look around and have empathy for those people that are struggling.
As a tia, as a friend, as a community member here in Albuquerque, I urge all of us to really take a look at how we want our communities to feel and look like. And I can say that most of us really want our communities to feel safe and for people to get access to the health care that they need. Mental health care is necessary for all of our families. So I urge all of us to get out to the polls and vote yes for mental health solutions.
Many of us have loved ones that may have a mental illness, and it's important for us to be able to provide them with the help that they need.
That's very true, Christina. I have a close relative right now who finds it very difficult to stay with us because we can't always meet her needs.
Maintaining mental health can be difficult, and it can even be difficult to talk about in the first place.
At Generation Justice, mental health is one issue that we've covered extensively. When we produced the film, When the Mask Comes Off, we want to create an environment where we could have these very important dialogues about mental health.
It is important for our communities to be able to have those conversations. Huge thanks to Dolores Lara, Tonya Esparza, Paula Apodaca, Martha Tafoya, and Denicia Cadena.
Now, back to music. Here's Combat Rock by Slater Kinney.
Welcome to this week's super awesome edition of Community Calendar.
All right, people, it's almost that time to rock the vote.
Election Day is on Tuesday, November 4th, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early voting has already begun and will end on November 1st.
That's good to know. And with the start of November upon us, you know what that means, Christina?
I sure do, Carson. It's Dia de los Muertos. And on Sunday, November 2nd, La Raza Unida y Combio is presenting the 22nd annual South Valley 2014 Marigold Parade.
It is from 2 to 7 p.m. on Sunday. The parade will start at the Bernalillo Share Substation, which is at the corner of Centuro, Familiar, and Isleta.
It will end at the Westside Community Center at 1250 Isleta Boulevard Southwest, where they will have music, altars, food, and art vendors.
Shuttle services are also available at Gateway Park and at the South Valley Economic Development Corporation. For more information, you can call 505-363-1326.
It's kind of getting cold out, Carson. Don't you think it would be nice to have an event to get our blood circulating and our muscles warmed up?
Being the incredible athlete that I am, of course I do, Christina.
Well, the next event is perfect for exercising and celebrating Dia de los Muertos.
The Center for Social Sustainable Systems, also known as CESOSS, will be hosting their first annual Muertos 5 and 1K Fun, Run, and Walk.
Corriendo por nuestro futuro, honrando a nuestro pasado. Running for our future while honoring our past.
There will also be activities for kids, speakers, poets, arts, and crafts. But quick question, Christina, when is it?
The Fun Run and Walk will be held at La Placita at Sanchez Farms on Saturday, November 1st, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. For more information, you can call 505-304-8724.
Sounds very cool.
Dia de los Muertos is a very important event for so many of us. I think it's a great way for us to honor those who have passed on. One way to do that is by creating an altar.
But I don't know how to create an altar, Christina.
Well, there's a Dia de los Muertos altar-making workshop coming up.
Oh, yeah, the UNM LGBTQ Resource Center, in collaboration with Kapuli Iskali, is going to be hosting that event.
This community event is in honor of Latino HIV and AIDS Awareness Day and LGBTQ History Month, dedicated to the people who have lost their lives or who are continually struggling with the fight against HIV or AIDS.
It's also to help inform the public on the history, traditions, symbols, and culture behind Dia de los Muertos. There will be food and drinks at this event.
Also, for anyone who feels comfortable enough, you can bring pictures of friends or loved ones as a way of recognizing those who have passed on. You can also bring offerings or candles to put on your altars.
This will be on October 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the UNM LGBTQ Resource Center on 608 Buena Vista Road, Northeast.
What a respectful way of recognizing those who have passed on, but yet will always remain with us.
I agree. Hey, Christina.
Hay is for horses, Carson.
I didn't mean that kind of hay. I mean hey, have you heard of what the Media Literacy Project has been up to?
I haven't, Carson. Can you please tell me more? I need to know.
You got it. The Media Literacy Project will be hosting the Siembra la Palabra Digna Toolkit Training.
This community event will be focusing on the release of a new, free tool that'll help fight for fair and responsible speech and to make sure our communities are represented with dignity.
This event will be held at the Albuquerque Center for Peace and Justice at 202 Harvard Drive Southeast, which is tomorrow, Monday, October 27th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Well, that about wraps up our special community calendar.
Back to the music. Up next is a song by Patti Smith called People Have the Power.
Sadly, we have reached the end of our show tonight. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening.
We would like to thank Andrea Serrano for taking the time to speak with us. Also, thank you again to Karina Roche Cross, Rachel Maestas, Connor Bridge, Carissa Lewis, Victoria Gomez, Derek Toledo, Jordan Umverzot, Danny Kessner, Zach McMillan, and Gabriel Hernandez for voicing your opinions.
We would also like to thank Dolores Lara, Tonya Esparza, Paula Apodaca, Martha Tafoya, and Denicia Cadena for speaking with us about the importance of mental health services.
Special thanks to Paulie DeNetclaw, Christina Rodriguez, and Chantel Trujillo for conducting tonight's interviews.
Shout out to our dope editors this week, Paulie DeNetclaw, Chantel Trujillo, and Carson Lafferty.
Again, thank you to Chantel Trujillo for producing tonight's show.
Production assistance came from George Luna Pena, Melissa Harris, and Roberta Royale. And shout out to Kamaria Umi for engineering tonight.
Woo woo! Much appreciation to all our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. Without all of your hard work, we wouldn't be the same.
Stay connected with us. Check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see music playlists, read our blogs, watch videos, and much, much more.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, Tweet, and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McEwen Foundation. And of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate. I'm your host, Christina Rodriguez.
And I'm your other co-host, Carson Lafferty. We'll end the show with a few more songs, then following us on KUNM is Spoken Word.
See you next Sunday at 7 o'clock.
As always, keep it casual like cashmere.